All right. Hello and welcome to the final episode of Avatar: The Last Airbender, Netflix edition, on small screen couch commentary.
I'm like kind of sad it's over a little
bit. Are you a little sad? I'm a little sad as well.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So real quick, and I'm only bringing this up because I'm curious and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't bring it up. But so if the second to last episode is penultimate.
This is ultimate,
this
right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
is that it?
Be. Yeah, it's got to be, right?
I don't know.
What does the pen mean in ultimate?
I don't know. It's a prefix.
Pre-ultimate?
I don't know.
Maybe we should have Googled that before we started.
Should have. Well, we didn't know. You didn't know the answer because you didn't know the question.
Because I'm dumb. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so, I didn't know the question.
You know.
I'm also stupid. It's a good question, though.
I am a little bit sad, mainly because while we know season 2 or 3 are coming, we don't know when. And I'm thinking it's going to be a long time.
I also found out, I don't know what the word is for it, but one of the leads for season 1, like, some whatever works for the show.
Showrunner or something?
Showrunner. That's what it is. See, that's why we got him. Showrunner for season 1 is not going to be a part of season 2. So.
Okay. Well, maybe it's good. Maybe it's
good.
Bad.
Maybe bad.
Who knows?
Sometimes good. Sometimes
maybe shit.
And that's how this show is. No, this episode was actually, I enjoyed this one as well. I think I went down the same path as you. By the middle of the series, I kind of let go of the animated show.
Yeah.
The only comparison was just like, oh, that did happen. That didn't happen.
Right.
And
right.
Was it good? Was it bad? Sometimes good.
Sometimes maybe shit.
Anyway, before we move on to the show, what were you snacking on?
Yo, your boy was just getting down on some kettle cooked potato chips.
Oh my God. That sounds so good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to do better with snacking. So I've been trying to like limit my portion sizes. I don't know if it helped or not. I haven't gotten on the scale, and I'm not worrying about scale.
No.
I'm just worrying about making
changes.
Some changes. Yeah.
That's a good idea, and that's my problem.
Portion chips.
Yeah. What did I have when I watched this? You know what? I had a burrito bowl from Moe's. That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Okay, Moe's or Chipotle?
Now Moe's. It used to be Chipotle.
I agree. I agree. I haven't had Moe's in a while, but Chipotle's.
It's downhill.
I stepped at.
Yeah, I actually got food poisoning from one the other week.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Like, I'm pretty sure. I shouldn't confirm it 100%, but
yeah,
that's what I had the day that I got sick.
The shoe fits.
But yeah, Moe's, you know, when you get the queso, you're freaking winning over there.
Oh, I don't like the queso. I don't like the queso from Chipotle either, though.
So. Oh, you're just not a big fan of queso.
I like queso, just not either of theirs.
Really?
Yeah.
Also,
Moe's trash.
Moe's treats you like family, you know? So, yeah, very good. It was a burrito day when I watched it.
All right.
You know.
What rating did you give this episode?
I gave this one an 8.0.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually went a little higher. I went 8.4.
Oh, that means you liked this one.
I did. I really liked this episode. I think there was a lot of good moments that for a lot of the different characters.
Yeah.
And this one probably had like the most fighting of any episode.
And wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually some really like hard hitting moments for, again, a show that's kind of a mixture of kids and adults.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
So we start off with something that was actually very similar to the animated show. Team Avatar.
Right.
Team Avatar is flying in and attacking a Fire Nation ship, going to town. And the main thing I want to share is when you see how strong Katara has gotten. Like, we saw her last episode in the fight, but here, like, she's doing some dope stuff.
Yeah.
She's really holding her own against some grown-ass men. She's working with Aang to fight these guys, but she's doing her own thing. She's not, like, relying on Aang in any way. So that's the one thing that's important to me. Also, when she leaves, she does this cool little thing where she uses the ocean water to float her up higher to jump onto Appa, which I thought was a little dope move.
For sure.
And the other big thing was, this is where Sokka, you're starting to see the leadership kick in. It was his plan, they mentioned, after they do everything, but he's telling them what to do and where he's going, where to be.
Yeah.
By the time this is over, then he goes.
And
he's
controlling Appa on his own, too.
Yeah, they're homies now. They gotta be, you know? So, yeah, and then they go, and they stop the ship in its tracks. I'm sure they killed some people in the wake of it.
Oh, for sure. There was one part, too, though, that I was kind of just like, I thought something was going to happen, and it didn't. Right after Sokka's like telling them, like, you go fight the dudes in the front. Katara, there's one's coming from the starboard side or whatever. He's riding on Appa by himself, and they show, like, in the perch, there's two Fire Nation dudes, and they're looking at him, and then they're like, all right, we got to go. And I'm thinking, like, I thought he was going to go up there, and they were, like, going to, like, blow it up or something.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing happened.
They just bounced.
Yeah, they just bounced. They just abandoned their post.
Super weird, like, dude.
That was a little weird. I don't know if there was a specific reason or purpose behind it, if they were legitimately afraid.
Or were they going to go help out on the, I don't know.
Maybe. It was just weird. I thought, like, when they abandoned that and Sokka went in there, he started smashing stuff. I thought they were going to, like, ambush him.
And he has to fight them.
Yeah, or if it was going to explode or something. And it was just like, my man was just taking out his anger on the control panel.
He beat the shit out of those control panels. Yeah, so they fly away. The control panel part is on fire. Ship's not moving. And like, oh, cool, we did it. Good job. And they're kind of showing each other a little bit of respect. Like, hey, it was all your plan, Sokka. Yeah, but you guys did this. That was cool.
Right.
And then,
like, one ship down.
Yeah.
How many more to go?
And I think we talked about last episode, you know, there's a lot of ships.
Yeah, in the last episode, like, we saw there were probably like five or six.
It was hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like they kind of fly up through like a cloud or something, and they get above and they see. It's like just a whole armada, a whole fleet of ships. And I mean, honestly, if that was me and I saw that, after all the effort they put into taking one down, I'd be like, ah, shit.
Yeah, guys, we're just going to retreat and leave the Northern Water Tribes to their own devices. but yeah, so they do that. Is this when we go in, we see, then we see Iroh and Zuko, right? This talking about him going towards the water tribe.
I think it's either right here or right after.
Okay, yeah. So we'll just we'll hit on that real quick. So Iroh and Zuko are having a nice conversation because Zuko is going to leave and sneak into the water tribe himself to go get the Avatar. It's a sweet moment. He kind of gives Iroh a little bit of respect, like, hey, I wouldn't be here without you. And he says, but I will see you again once I have the Avatar.
Right.
So he heads off. And I think they say, Don't forget your fire breathing. No, dragon's breath.
Dragon's breath.
It may save you out there.
Yeah.
Which dragon's breath just sounds like a dope move.
Oh, for sure.
So he's going to go sneak into the water. I want to say water temple because I'm thinking of Zelda, but it's freaking the Northern Water Tribe.
Yeah.
But then we go back. Aang and Team Avatar are warning, like, hey, there's a shit ton of ships out there.
Right.
And they're calling people back in because they're going to have to defend it from behind the walls. Like, this is not going to be, hey, we go out in an offensive move. This is going to be all defensive.
Yeah, I think even Sokka mentions at one point, like, even if they took all their boats and their whole army out there, like, it's the numbers were just too great for the Fire Nation, which, you know, that's their move. It's like they overwhelm places, not because they have like super great warriors or whatever they got, but they just have numbers. They just got way more people than you do.
Yeah. And so then fire, like,
that's how they take over.
So destructive. So you have these numbers and fire can be destructive. So
it's
like super overwhelming. So, but the good news is water can put out fire. So maybe they got a shot. And as Sokka says, you know, they got a 50-50 shot. Well, 60-40.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty funny moment. And this is where I believe after Sokka says 60-40, Katara, like, light bulb goes on and she's like, ah, I got an idea. And she goes up to Poco.
First off, Paku.
Paku.
but as she's going to go talk to him, Aang and Sokka, they're like, well, where are you going? And she's like, I'm trying to go even the odds.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was going towards Sokka's comment of it being 50-50, 60-40.
Yeah.
But I kind of saw that whole moment coming. And I don't remember, like, this is probably the part where I'm haziest on the animated series. I don't remember if that part happened there. I don't really care. But I thought for sure that Paku was going to put more of a fight with what she was proposing.
Yeah. I don't know. So it was that way in the Northern Water Tribe in the animated show. I just don't remember if during the battle, this all happened.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I know because after they fought, I think he just let her, like, hey, you can fight.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So she pretty much just says, hey, you got some numbers back here that you're not using.
Yeah.
You know, and One of the women finally come up after like Katara and him have a little argument. It's like, stop being a fool, you old bastard.
Yeah.
And he's like, fine, whatever. Like, we're going to die anyway. Like, who cares? Get out there.
Well, and you know what? So I think that the lady that went and kind of pushed Paku to allow the women to fight, wasn't that the same lady who was like teaching the healing stuff?
Yeah.
So to have somebody like her, who is their like master healer, come and be like, yo, like, not only do you need us, like, we want to fight.
Yeah.
Like, that probably helped push him over the edge. Be like, okay, like, you're right. Like, if one of my own, like, that is a high appointed person in our healing area is saying, yo, we need, like, you need us and we want to help.
Yeah.
I should probably listen.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Plus, yeah, it's smart. You're even the odds a little bit. Like, yeah. Part one. Side note. Big fun difference in the animated show is Paku was actually in love with Gran Gran, and then like she didn't like the whole, whole, you know, women aren't equal to men thing. And
yeah.
So that was like the whole they split up, which was a cool little connection in the show. I understand why it's not in the regular this show here, the Netflix edition.
I'm okay with it because I still don't like Gran Gran.
I don't want any more Gran Gran. No, I don't want any extra flashbacks of Gran Gran with Paku. None of that. So thank you, Netflix, for not giving us more Gran Gran.
If they bring Gran Gran back, like, just
better be a funeral, bro.
I wasn't going that far. But I think they just need to do better. Because, like, Gran Gran was, like, a lovable character in the animated show. And I wouldn't say that about her in the Netflix edition.
No, like, she's creepy as fuck, dude.
She is. But, yeah.
Yeah. Moving Gran Gran hasn't been in for, like, 7-6 episodes. yeah, moving on. So Fire Nation is there. I think we get a little kick to Iroh and Admiral Zhao.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't get it. Like, this doesn't seem right. And Admiral Zhao, what, like the captain's ship, Admiral ship not leading the charge? And he's like, yeah, that just seems a little off. I said, well, isn't it you, Iroh, who said we shouldn't just go head on? We should probably hit from different angles.
Yeah, I think it was maybe like 2 episodes back, maybe, where he was basically telling them, like, their kingdom is fortified, you know, around all the sides, and even like a frontal attack would be hard because their ice walls are so high and, you know, they're strong, yeah, and whatever.
It's Helm's Deep up in that bitch.
100%. 100%. Yeah. But yeah, Zhao is just like, oh, well, you know, I might have a trick up my sleeve. Now, I thought they were going to do more with his whole spiel that he was giving Iroh before about like destiny and, you know, the box that he had and whatever. I thought, yeah, they were going to do more with that. And
they did a little more later.
They did, but it was like, I don't know. That not making that connection stronger was probably my least favorite part of this episode, honestly.
Yeah, I still loved Admiral Zhao.
I love Admiral Zhao. I just think the way that I feel like that was a weak connection, and they could have done more to make it better. But anyway,
yeah,
he's telling him, like, you know, I've got something that other people who have attacked doesn't and whatever, and we're gonna go in. I think he says, like, we're gonna breach it through a different way.
Yes, he says something. He's like, yeah, we're on one ship, but more than one vessel.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So they have a little something up their sleeve to get in a different way, and then another something up their sleeve a little later. And then at this moment is when you see the first cannon slingshot fireball go off. And let me tell you, man, all I wanted to hear was a freaking Lord of the Rings reference of, so it's begun. You know what I mean? I just wanted it so bad. Nobody gave it to me, though.
No.
But then, yeah, you see that cannonball go off. So now we're back in the Water Tribe. Things are just hitting the fan now. Everybody's blocking and throwing. And, you know, they're doing a good job. They're fighting it off. They're throwing these, like, ice walls up that hit the fireballs and block them. Water's coming out of nowhere.
They even at one point had, like, these, like, big water cannons.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was water cannons or if it was just, like, waterbenders directing water, like, through a pipe or something.
It was that, yeah.
But it was, like, they were hitting the fireballs, like, out of the air.
In mid-air.
Trying to, you know, prevent them from getting further.
Yeah. And then I think we get a few different, like, people here, right? So first you have Sokka and the random dude getting ready to fight. I don't remember his name. The person who was going to marry Yue.
Oh, Han.
Yeah, quick, just like they're kind of getting ready for fighting. And then Yue's dad comes with Yue, and Yue's dad kind of have a quick conversation. She's like, I'm not going to sit around and watch and not fight along my people.
Right.
And he's like, well, look, if I die, you're in the lead. Which, again, kind of weird to me. Like, they're a very sexist group, and then they're like, she's going to be our leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you said before, allowed her to make a choice. So they're a little weird group of people, but, you know, they're moving forward, and that's what's important.
Progress.
Progress, baby. And he just kind of says to her, like, I need you to be able to be in charge when this is all over if I do die. So he assigns Sokka to protect her. So they're going off on their own little adventure, you know, while in this battle. And then Han is going to be, if they break through, he's the first line of defense.
Right.
Because he's a non-waterbender.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his group ready to fight when they come in. And then we go to Katara, who they put up a cool little ice wall that blocks something. And then one of the people that came over to her last episode and asking her, like, about her moves.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, Paku, got it this time?
Yes.
Got it. Paku sent me over. You know, what do you need me to do? And she's like, Paku sent you.
Yeah. And he's just like, he told us to help you out in any way we can and to get you anything you need.
Yeah. I'm not done with my training yet, but I'll do the best I can.
Right. Right.
And she's like, all right, go over here, do this, help fortify. If you see a fireball, don't take it on yourself. All right. Call me over. And he's like, yes, master. And she's like,
but I'm not a. Oh.
I hated that.
I did too.
Okay, good.
I did too.
I was one of those things where I was watching it and I was like, am I going to pick this apart and Alex is going to hate me for it? Or
I didn't like it either.
I'd rather her just been like,
thanks.
Yeah, and like made a face like, oh, I am a master now.
Right,
you know? But,
right.
Oh, I'm not a.
Right. Yeah, it was a little cheesy.
Yeah, it was very cheesy. But also a cool moment for her. I'll give her that. But like, just yeah. Shut the fuck up. Just keep going, you know?
Well, here's my thing. I think throughout the show, her progression, while if it was other, I don't know, movies or stories or whatever, some people might think, okay, well, her progression has been too quick, too fast. Like, she's gotten to a higher level much faster than she should have. I don't think they did a bad job of it in this show.
No.
I think each episode they showed her doing a little bit more, learning a little bit more. You know, and then obviously when she's at the Northern Water Temple, like, we don't necessarily know, like, how long it's been since they've been there, a few days at least.
Yeah.
But with her aptitude for waterbending progressing as far as it did on her own, when she's around basically the only other waterbenders in the world, like, she's going to pick stuff up.
Yeah, and like you said, throughout the show, you see her get stronger. They do mention, like, there's other things that happen before they get to the Northern Water Tribe. So this is probably 6 months to a year they've been on this adventure.
Who knows?
So she's been training.
Yeah.
She's the Luke Skywalker of waterbending. All right? That's just, you know.
Hmm.
She just picks it up at an older age. And
do I want to say Luke? I guess that's probably the best comparison.
Maybe we could Rey. I mean.
No.
But people hate on Rey.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to go Rey.
See, we can have an argument one day about this, but people hate too much on Rey
Skywalker. I agree.
It's called a Skywalker. I won't do that. I apologize for saying Rey Skywalker.
Yeah.
That part I didn't like in the movie. But anyway.
Rey Palpatine.
Oh, yeah.
Anywho.
Anywho, Katara Skywalker is, she's going to help out the group here. So, shoot, man, where do we go from here?
Well, so I think here it's a good idea then to go back to Zhao and Iroh. Because he then reveals what he meant when he said that we only have one ship but more than one vessel.
Yeah.
And they're like in a, I think before they're in it, Zhao shows him, like, they're preparing this airship.
Yeah, it's an airship, yeah.
Right. And Iroh is just like, the Fire Nation built this? And he's like, no, it's a gift from our friends in Umashu.
Yeah.
Which that kind of made me mad then, because, like, it made me think about the Mechanist again.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, he was trying to play it off like, oh, the stuff I've given them is really insignificant and nothing that they could really use.
Right.
And it's like, bro, you literally just gave them the one thing that, like, could turn the tides,
yeah,
for them.
Air battle.
Yeah.
It's not a thing right now, other than the airbenders who are all gone.
Right. Yeah. Right. But so they start preparing that airship, they get in it, and Iroh is, like, not really understanding what his plan is.
Yeah.
And so, like any super villain, you know, in a TV show or movie, Zhao is just like spilling the beans to him.
Yeah, and he's forcing Iroh to come with him on this ride.
Right. There's an important reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he spills the bean. So there's a flashback, and they're back at the Avatar Streaming Services
Roku's temple.
Roku's temple. And again, a nice little call here. Admiral Zhao's mad as he's going through all this paperwork, and he goes, "There's nothing here. Just things about sea turtles, whatever." And he's like, "Nothing important about like the push and pull of life or some shit." It's like, dude, be a little spiritual for once, okay? But one of the sages or whatever you want to call them,
yep,
is like, "Well, there's a little more here, you know, we could talk about." And he shows them where the water tribe is built is an oasis that kind of actually keeps them, I guess, warm and keeps life a little easier up in that area.
Yeah, it was something about like when they first settled up there, there was this oasis that they were able to go to help survive because it protected them from the harsh conditions. Yeah. And so that being the like center of their temple, of their society.
Part of why they're so strong up there.
Right. Right.
And it turns out this is a very spiritual place because the moon and the ocean of spirit once every year. I want to say, or was it?
So, I think it's once a year. Yeah.
They like to, I feel like this is a little different from the animated show. Again, not a big difference, but I think they're always there. But in here, it's that once every year they come to visit as life forms to kind of be among the water benders.
Right.
And they come as, well, I guess we'll find out, we'll tell you later what they come as. But yeah, so they show up in this oasis just to be among the water benders once a year. And it just so happens. Tonight's that night.
Right.
Tonight is the night
when
to become one. Actually kind of works for the situation.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Also to note here, Iroh kind of mentions like, "Hey, bro, bad idea to attack tonight. It's a full moon and waterbenders get their powers from the moon.
Yeah.
And it turns out the oasis is where people learn to waterbend. They looked up the moon and understood how the moon spirit push and pulled the water,
which I think
was just a cool. A cool thing. It was in the animated show too, but it's just cool.
Well, and like you know, it's similar to the earthbenders. They learned from the badger moles.
Yeah.
So it's like you know the bending is not something that you know has just kind of been there with humans. They learned it from different areas of life.
Wait till you watch Legend of Korra.
Right,
you get more in depth of like how it's really learned or taught.
Okay, but yeah, it's definitely
how's it learned.
It was definitely a nice way for them to work that in. So Zhao, you know, he takes Iroh's you know kind of warning with a grain of salt, and is basically like, no, like it's not just a full moon. Like this is the moon in which the veil between the spirit world and our world is thinner, and that's when the you know the ocean spirit and the moon spirit come down. He knows this, and that's why he wants to attack. And Iroh starts kind of putting the pieces together, and he's like, "Whoa, like you know you can't be messing with the spirit world, and like if you're doing what I'm thinking you're gonna do, like this is a bad idea."
Yeah, it's gonna bring.
Are you gonna kill the ocean and the moon spirits?
It's gonna bring imbalance to the world and everything like that.
Right.
And he's like, "I love Admiral Zhao in this moment."
Yeah.
He's like, "Kill the ocean spirit? No, 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 no. That's crazy. That would just take away everybody's life. You know."
Yeah. All the waterbenders, the women, the children.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster.
Also, I'm just gonna kill the moon spirit.
Right.
And he has a knife that. I don't know why they put this in the show, but he has a knife that I guess can hurt spirits, and like regular weapons can't.
Well, they kind of explain it a little bit later.
We can say it now. It's fine. Created by Avatar Kuruk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kuruk. You know, if we recall from the previous episode, the reason that he wasn't there with the water tribe as much is because he had been fighting in the spirit world the whole time.
Yeah.
And so he had a knife that he had crafted to fight in the spirit world that then somehow got into the real world that then somehow got into the hands of the Fire Nation.
Yeah, yeah. that, who knows how.
Yeah.
I guess, well, whatever. Anyway. So this plan is now put into motion. They're going to float in, go to the oasis. And Zhao wants to kill the moon spirit, that dirty dog.
Yeah.
And No, there's a big moment later for Zhao, which I really enjoyed.
Yes, yes, there is. There's a couple.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to go with... I feel like Aang doesn't have much going on until a little bit later.
Well, so, you know, as the battle is starting there, he's just trying to do his best to help.
Yeah, he's deflecting the waterbenders.
He's deflecting stuff, but, you know, they're starting to kind of get overwhelmed a bit because it's just all the ships are getting closer. There's more fireballs coming in, and they're trying their best to hold their own, but you can kind of slowly see that the tides are starting to turn a little bit.
I see what you did there.
I didn't even try that.
That was great. That was great.
So yeah, Aang, he doesn't have a whole lot going on other than trying to help the waterbenders defend the temple, or not the temple. I did the same thing you did.
Yeah.
To defend their kingdom. But the person who does have some stuff going on then is Sokka, because he gets tasked then to protect Yue, and they go to the oasis. Then.
Well, I want to let's talk about how they get there.
Okay,
so they're kind of doing their own thing in the battle, helping some people get to certain places, keeping kids safe, I guess, stuff like that. And then some fireball hits a wall, and things crumble, and Momo pushes some kids out the way.
Yo,
did this hit you? Because it hit me.
I knew it was going to hit you, and I wanted to talk to you about it specifically. But when it happened,
yeah,
I sat there and I was just like, I literally gasped, like audibly gasped.
Yeah. My thing was, so this didn't happen in the show. So what happened was in the animated show, the rocks, Momo pushed people out the way, but the rocks crushed Momo. And you just see like a lifeless Momo laying on the ground under the rocks.
I thought he was dead for sure.
You audibly gasped. I out loud said, they don't do that, right? They don't do this. They don't kill Momo. So they go to check on Momo, and he is just limp, bro. Just limp. And Yue goes, is he? And Sokka's like, he's alive, but barely.
Barely?
Barely. So their plan is to get, she's like, come with me. So she takes Sokka to the oasis. By the way, the door they use to get in the oasis, I want in my house one day. It was like a spinning door, dude. It was pretty lit.
I don't know if I would want that in my house, though.
No, dude.
No.
You wouldn't want a big circle door to go to another room?
Take up too much space.
No, dude. It doesn't be that big. No. But like, it's a regular size circle door that just spins.
To each their own.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So they get to the oasis, and this is where Yue explains why she has her white hair and kind of all this stuff. She was very sick growing up.
She explained it in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, she did. So anyway, so she has some moon spirit in her.
Yes.
So she's like, this is where the spirits like to hang out. So I might be able to put them in this water and use some of my spirit energy to help heal them. Which she does, which is great. She brings Momo alive.
Momo comes back.
Good old Sokka gives Momo a hug. It's like, oh, you scared me there, brother, you know? And I'm like, Sokka, you're just growing on me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And as they're doing that over the moon, you see the airship come in. So they go hide behind bushes. They're like, what the hell's going on here? So before we get back to that, we then go to Aang has a weird feeling.
I want to just one last thing in that scene.
Talk to me.
As Yue asks, you know, what is that?
Oh, they say it later. Says, we can say it now.
He says, it's an airship. And
it's not meant for battle. It's meant for this.
Right. It's meant for transport. And Yue's like, oh, well, how do you know about that? And he's like, because I helped design it.
Yeah.
And again,
which I want to talk later about this moment, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my whole thing was, again, it brought me back to the Mechanist again. And it's like,
you dirty dog.
He did turn around and like was a good guy in the end because he helped thwart out the spies that were in Umashu. But it's like, yo, if you would have just been a good dude from the gate,
this wouldn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. I got a bubble in my throat. It felt weird.
Sounded weird.
It did. Yeah, the Mechanist pisses me off because I think he was just a little pussy.
But a little bit.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah.
I want to touch on the fact that Sokka helped build this later on because I feel like it's something that could be pretty cool for season two.
Okay.
But yeah, let's go back to Aang. Aang has a weird feeling and he looks behind him towards the Temple of Karuk and it's like, oh, he's here. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, I can feel my knife. It's near me.
Yeah.
It's which, giving me power.
It was definitely a little strange. Of all the avatars that Aang has talked to so far, Kuruk's probably been my least favorite.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, the other two have been great, you know?
Yeah.
And what kind of makes me mad is, like, I want some respect for Kuruk because he fought without people knowing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or to save the world.
He's doing what he's doing not because he's a bad avatar, but because he knows that he's the only one that can.
Yeah. Or what he did as right. when he was the avatar. But anyway, so he tells Aang, like, there's only one reason why my knife would be here. Which, again, this is a little weird, but whatever.
A little cheesy.
Yeah, and a little, like, I don't, this is, you're just trying to get Aang to a certain point. I get you need to do that, but could we find an easier, like, a one that makes more sense kind of way? Anywho, so he's like, oh, shit, I got to find the moon and ocean spirit to protect him.
Right.
And Katara sees Aang and is like, what's up, dog? Like, you want to help out? Like, I've been looking for you. You know, we're in a battle. Like, yeah. What are you doing over talking to nobody?
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, we gotta go find the ocean moon spirit. This was about to go down. So as they're getting ready to go, one of our homies pops up.
Yeah. Well, and mind you, when our homie left Uncle Iroh, he had mentioned to him that he needs to follow, like, the warmer water because that might be the only way to get into the, I was about to say water temple.
Water temple.
To get into the water
temple. Hardest temple in Ocarina of Time.
Easily. And so you see Zuko and he's like under the ice.
Yeah.
And he's like almost about to kind of, it seems like he's about to start drowning a little bit because he's like struggling for breath, struggling for air.
Yeah.
And then boom, he just fire bends right through the ice and pops right out.
Yeah.
Which was pretty dope.
Zuko is pretty dope.
But so he's then, you know, wandering around because the whole reason he's trying to get in there is because he still is on a mission to get Aang. Like, he doesn't really care about conquering the Northern Temple.
He can do that when he's the Fire Lord.
Right.
You know?
He wants to get Aang and he wants to still, you know, impress his father and get back to what he believes is, you know, his rightful position.
Mm-hmm.
So Katara and Aang, they're going through. Zuko catches up with them.
Yeah.
And he basically is just telling them, like, you're coming with me.
You're coming with me. Yo, a couple of memes tonight on the episode.
Not even tried it.
Yeah, we're here now. They're about to fight. Aang's kind of like, I don't have time for this shit. Like,
yeah,
I got
basically
spiritual things to do. And Katara's like, you go, I got this. And this moment was dope.
This was probably my favorite line in the whole show.
Aang said something like, don't hurt him.
No, he goes, go easy. Too many people have already been hurt today.
And Zuko's like, I don't care about that. And Aang goes, I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you about to get it.
Yeah, man.
So they start to fight. Pretty solid fight here.
Katara versus Zuko was a solid matchup.
Yeah, great in the animated show. I think they did a good job here in the live action Netflix edition. Great fight. They turn out, but by the end of it, she uses a similar idea of what
Paku
did to her.
Yeah,
she brings.
I mean,
up,
it was pretty even. They were going blow for blow.
Oh,
I wouldn't
yeah.
say either one of them really had any sort of
upper hand
advantage.
No, yeah. He even says to her, like, oh, I don't care about your new tricks, but he knows she learned new tricks, and he goes, oh, you found a master. A little corny, she goes, yeah, you're looking at her, son.
Yeah, yeah.
But
she definitely does the similar move that Paku did to her, that, like, when Paku and her were fighting, he was throwing, like, ice spikes down at her, and eventually threw so many down that, like, encapsulated her in ice.
She couldn't move, yeah.
And she did something similar instead of, like, they're in, like, a very small room. Rather than, you know, throwing ice spikes from down, she kind of, like, formed ice from below.
Yeah, almost like she did the jet, actually.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar. So it's like a mixture of that and Paku's move.
Yeah. So she gets him trapped in ice, and the fight's over.
No.
No.
It is not.
Oh, my apologies.
No. He gets encapsulated, and then you see...
Oh, yeah.
He starts to breathe fire out his mouth a little bit, and then he just goes and busts out.
Dragon's breath.
Yeah, and then they cut away then.
I forgot.
The fight is still
fight's
happening.
Fight's going on while other stuff's going on.
Right.
My
right.
apologies. You're right. So the other thing that's going on is the airship lands. Iroh and Zhao get out, and this is where Iroh, the reason why Iroh's here, is Zhao says,
you're very knowledgeable about the spirit world.
Yeah, I need you to help me find where these spirits are.
Yeah, and Iroh basically says to him, like, I wouldn't know where they are any better than you do.
Like, this ain't like finding a lost puppy.
Right, right. Yeah. The fire, or not the fire, the moon spirit and the ocean spirit, they could be anything from two bugs on a leaf to a couple trees in a meadow. Like, there's no way that I would just know what they are.
Oh, man.
And half of me kind of thought that he was saying that just to kind of try and continue to throw him off the trail. Half of me thought he was saying it because he really didn't know. I didn't know which way to take it.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
I think you could go either way. Because I could expect Iroh to know just because he's that knowledgeable
right.
spirits.
Right.
But I also could expect him to be like, yeah, they literally could be any of that stuff.
I kind of was leaning more along the lines of he was saying that because he wanted to
buy, you know, more time.
Buy more time, throw him off the trail because he knows that Zhao is an asshole.
Yeah.
Which is also why I love him.
Yeah, Zhao's great. And I think Iroh's been great in this show. And I think it just comes back to Iroh. Like, he, even though he's part of the Fire Nation, even though he's doing all these things with the Fire Nation, like, he still understands balance.
For sure.
And that's just kind of his big thing, is all about balance.
Yeah.
So he definitely doesn't like the idea of what Zhao wants to do.
Right.
And there is a point, Aang gets there, right?
Well, no. So, but before that, you know, Zhao kind of essentially starts to unravel a little bit more about why he's doing what
doing.
You know, because Zhao, he's getting a little greedy.
He's getting a little cocky.
Getting a little big for his britches.
He's a little too big.
And so Ozai is, you know, trying to plead with him to say, like, hey, look, like,
Iroh.
Iroh's trying to plead with Zhao to say, look, like, this is a bad idea. I see what you're doing, but it's not a good idea. It's going to throw the world into imbalance, and, you know, it's just going to bring on chaos. And so Zhao's basically telling him, like, look, like, I don't care. That's not my priority here. And to be honest, I'll worry about this when I'm the Fire Lord.
Yeah, he pretty much is saying, because I will be called Zhao the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And I will be the Fire Lord. And you can be my, he's like, you can be my right-hand man to Iroh. Like, getting real cocky.
Right.
First of all, Iroh would fuck him up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Iroh would never.
Let's rewind. Ozai would fuck him up.
There are a lot of people
that would fuck him up.
Eventually then they do find the the moon spirit and the ocean spirit. And it's like in the middle of the oasis, there's a little pond.
Yeah.
And there's two fish there. And one is a white fish, one is a black fish. And earlier in the episode, I think it was when Zhao was talking to the sage, he had mentioned, you know, the balance between them is yin and yang.
Yep.
And so he sees the two fish circling and he goes, yin and yang. And so he really didn't actually end up needing Iroh.
No, not at all.
So he found them and he starts getting into the water and he has like a little baggie and he scoops up the moon spirit.
Bro, and this was pretty dope. Everything went to like black and white.
Yeah.
With a tint of red.
The moon kind of
disappears.
Well, at first it started to turn red.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared after that.
Yeah.
Because of what happened. But yeah, the whole color palette of the,
oh yeah, this is when it goes red. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the whole color palette of the whole thing just changes. And so
it's intense.
It is.
Like, Iroh's yelling at him. He's like saying, like, if you kill that spirit, I will do more to you.
Yeah, I think he says, like, if you, whatever you do to that spirit, like, I'll unleash on you tenfold.
And I'm like, which, let me see that shit.
Easily could do. Oh, man, I was really hoping it was going to come down to that.
Yeah.
Like, I was hoping that Iroh was just going to be like, it's time to let loose.
There's a move that Iroh does in the animated show, and I can't remember what he calls it. but it might be Dragon's Breath.
It is.
But he does it when he drinks tea at one point in the anime show. He better do that in the live action.
I hope so at some point.
But yeah, so anyway, he's like freaking out. Like, hey, don't do it. I think Aang gets there.
This is where Aang gets there then, yeah.
Aang's like, don't do this. Like, you can't. Like, they're all, everyone's yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my heart's starting to pound. I'm like, I know what's going to happen. And I don't like this.
Yeah. Aang basically tells him, like, look, like, instead of you killing the moon spirit,
you can take me.
You can take me. I will go with you peacefully. And Zhao basically is just like,
you ain't shit.
Yeah, he tells me, he's like, I don't care about you. You think you're relevant? I don't think you are relevant. I don't know that you ever were.
Who?
And I was like, wow. Like,
12-year-old kid, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but he is a 12-year-old kid, but he is also a 12-year-old kid that
could do some shit.
Well, not just that, but he's a 12-year-old kid that they have to pretty much treat like not a kid.
Yeah.
Because of his responsibility.
He's 112.
Technically speaking, yeah. No. But Zhao tells him, he's just like, you know, I don't care about you. You're irrelevant. And, you know, I'm going to be the Fire Lord and I'll, you know.
I'll deal with you later.
Right, right. And one of the things that Aang tries to tell him is like, look, like, you know, if you throw this everything into imbalance and chaos, you know, the water temple will cease to exist, and you know, there won't be anything left to rule then.
Yeah.
And Zhao's just like, don't care,
don't give a fuck,
not at all.
I'm doing my own thing.
So I think at this point then is when Iroh is kind of like, all right, well, I gotta step in here.
Yeah, he does something. I can't remember what it was.
He just hits him with a quick fireball,
and then the bag falls to the ground and
right.
kind of lands a little close to the pond, between the pond and Admiral Zhao, and they're all looking at it like,
who's gonna get to it first?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. Remember those movies where like they just flash of different faces and they go back to the object, you
right,
know?
Right. Yeah. And then Aang, he does his best. He gets, you know, some air under, and he's going to try to like bring it towards him, or at least away from Zhao. And unfortunately, he does not.
Zhao gets that knife out.
Zhao kind of dives and right into the fish that's in the bag.
And this is when the moon disappears.
Right.
And everything goes from red to black and white.
Yeah. Because now the moon's gone.
Yeah.
And at the same time, when the moon disappeared, Yue like felt that.
Oh,
and she like kind of fell to her knees a bit.
She's weakened now.
Right.
I think she's sick again.
Yes.
That's what I would assume.
That's what I would assume as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Zhao, he's super happy then.
Because
he, you know, accomplished his mission essentially.
Without looking ahead, like, I still feel like, what makes you think you'll become the Fire Lord because of this? You gained no strength.
No, none, you know, whatsoever.
You might have gained a few followers, but like Ozai can probably take on a whole army, to be honest with you.
Easily.
You know?
Easily.
And then now you got Iroh pissed off. So now you got Iroh and Ozai against you, if you really think about it. But anyway, so.
Yeah, a little, you know, scuffle kind of happens then. And I think that's when like people kind of start to scatter a bit.
Yeah, they do scatter.
At the same time, though, when the moon disappears, all of the waterbenders lose their bending power.
Yeah.
Because that's where they gain their bending power from. That's where they learn to bend. So the battle outside, as the scales were kind of tipping against the waterbenders, now it's just really bad.
Yeah.
The ice walls that they're making are getting broken down. The whole kingdom itself is made from ice. Starts of it are starting to fall apart.
People were in like a middle of like a one-on-one fight, or like including Katara.
Right.
Like people in the battle, though, they're like getting ready to use a move and nothing's happening. And
right.
They're just getting rocked.
I think at one point they, like, you hear some people even say, like, I lost my bending.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Katara, she's still fighting Zuko at this point as well. She loses her bending power. But right when Zuko's like about to attack her, a big fireball comes in and hits the building that they're in.
Yeah.
So we don't know at that point, like, you know, are they okay? Are they alive? Don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the whole battle's turning to shit. And
big time.
Real fast. And so.
And when the sun rises, just look to the east.
Oh, gosh, if only.
Yeah, sorry.
So at this point, Aang, you know, he gets an idea, and I think there's even like a flashback. Yeah, there's a flashback to the other avatars that he's talked to. He's talked to Roku. He's talked to Kurik. He's talked to Kyoshi.
Yep.
And it's all parts where they're basically reminding him what he needs to do, why he's there. And I think there was one even where I think it was Kurik who basically said to him, you need to put the needs of the rest of the world ahead of your needs.
Yeah. And they also mentioned, like, Kurik at one point said, you're strong, but not as strong as the...
That's what it was.
The Kurik, elemental spirits.
Yeah. Kurik basically said that the avatar state is a powerful, you know, force, but it pales in comparison to the forces of the spirit world.
Of the elemental spirit.
Of the other elemental spirit. My bad. Yeah. Yes, you're right. You're right.
Because then you can't take on any spirits, and then you're out of shit. But yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so he comes to a conclusion here. He's pretty much going to combine himself with the ocean spirit.
Yeah. He kind of goes into his, like, meditative state. His tattoos start to glow.
So he's avatar state, and then also elemental state, spirit,
yeah,
combined power.
Yeah.
And
he starts going into the water.
Yeah.
And Yue knows what he's doing.
And he's like, you can't come back from this, Aang. Like, you'll never be yourself again.
Right.
And he's like, I know what I have to do. And so he sacrifices himself. He's like, I was never supposed to be here anyway.
Right.
You know, I was supposed to be dead a long time ago.
Yeah. So he goes into the water.
Theory, just to throw it out there. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a fan theory that the reason why Yue was sick, because the next person in line for the Avatar
was going to be her.
Going to be a Water Tribe member. Mm. And it was supposed to be her, but she never got the Avatar spirit put into her. So that's why she was sick. So then another spirit had to go into her to keep her alive.
That kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Right?
I can see that working.
Right? That means Aang was supposed to be alive for 100 and, well, about 100 years, probably a little less, about 90-some years. So it would work.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't know. Don't like the Avatars, like, live a little bit longer than, like, regular people anyway?
I think so.
Because, I mean, Bumi, you know, was 100-something.
Yeah.
So
80, 90 is nothing for an Avatar.
Right, right.
But yeah, so she knows what's going on, and he's like, I have to do it. Everyone's kind of like, fuck, like, okay, fine, I guess. I don't know. I don't really like this, but go for it. Big dog.
Right.
So he's just sinking down in the water. Water goes around him.
Well, so they know that he's going to go and combine with the spirit, but they don't know what's going to happen, though.
No. What happened was... All of a sudden, that little pond doesn't seem to have just a little bit of water in it. No.
Yeah.
So basically, Aang's little body is just surrounded by Godzilla-sized water monster.
It's like a big kaiju water monster.
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, at that point...
That can bend water.
Yeah. And Sokka is like up, you know, there, and he's just like, oh my gosh, and he's calling out to Aang. He's like, Aang, oh my gosh. And Yue tells him, like, there is no more airbender. There is no more Avatar.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone.
Yeah.
So he just, this big water kaiju just starts wrecking the place.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know if this is it later or now, but Yue, I think, says, like, it's this monster spirit is going to be looking for his lost love forever. It's going to be traveling the world like this forever.
That is a little bit later.
Oh, either way, but, not a big deal. But
yeah,
that's what this is. It's the spirit combined with the Avatar state, and it's just looking for the moon spirit forever.
Right, because the moon spirit's dead now.
Yeah.
Well, so as, you know, this water kaiju is there blasting the... Fire Nation, because also by this point the Fire Nation is like they're in the temple on foot.
Yeah.
They've been in there going back and forth battling people.
Not in the temple. Well, I guess they're in the temple too.
Yeah,
but in the kingdom.
There was one part that I wanted to just go back to that we kind of missed before this all happened. When the Fire Nation soldiers are there on foot, because all the ships have now broken through, Yue's dad is like fighting a bunch of them hand to hand or whatever. And at one point, there's a firebender that goes to try and like kill him essentially. And somebody jumps to kind of catch the blow. And you see that it's the kid who had told Katara, like, anything you need, like, we'll be here for you.
Yeah.
You also see Han, who's, like, leading just a small group
holding
of...
Holding off as best he can.
Yeah, he's leading, like, a small group of other warriors. And, you know, he's... They're just getting demolished, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone in there is getting smashed until this Aang...
Kaiju
moon water beast comes and starts flushing people out. It starts, like, hitting the ships and just knocking them over.
So the Fire Nation goes on full-ass retreat.
Oh, my God. Well, they do, but only to then try to, like, attack even more.
Yeah.
Now, as this is happening, you know, people are trying to retreat a bit here, get back to the boats and whatever. Iroh finds
he runs Zuko into Zuko then. Yeah, he's like, oh,
he finds
God.
Him and, you know, he, like, moves some rubble off him, whatever, and Zuko is like, okay, well, like, I've gotta still do what I need to do. And he's like, no, like, we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he looks up and he sees the water kaiju just battling, and he goes, like, he's like,
what
is that?
Fuck.
And Iroh basically tells him, he's like, that is rage right there.
Yeah.
So they're getting out of there. Katara comes out of the rubble as well. She's thankfully, you know, good to go now. But I think at this point she kind of goes out to, or starts going out, like, with everyone else to the front of the kingdom there. As people are leaving, Zuko sees out of the corner of his eye
across a bridge.
Yeah. Good old Zhao.
Yeah.
Who Zhao is running back like a little bitch now. Yo, too.
Yeah, he is. He's freaked out. And Zuko is like, I gotta get him. And yeah. Iroh's kind of like, nah, dude, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And Zuko's like, nah, he took everything from me. And I can't remember what line that reminds me of.
I know exactly what line it was.
Infinity War.
Yeah.
You took everything from me.
No, it was Endgame.
Yeah, it was Endgame.
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind went too. Because when he said that, when he's like, he took everything from me, I wanted to just say so bad, I don't even know you.
You will. So he blasts a fireball in front of Zhao, and Zhao turns like, "You're alive? Like, holy shit!"
Yeah, because to his, you know,
knowledge, killed him.
He had blown him up on that ship.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is another cool little fight here. Where this is the first time that they've actually faced off,
yeah,
in this show.
And I liked it because it's one of your favorite things. They mix a little bit of firebending, but there's some punches thrown too.
Yeah, yeah. I always feel like especially with the firebenders, and then also to an extent the earthbenders as well, the focus on the martial arts is way more imbalanced. Like, there's a little bit of it with the waterbenders. There's a little bit of it with the airbenders.
Yeah.
But with the firebenders and then the earthbenders that we've seen, the martial arts is way more of a focus in those.
Yeah, I agree. I actually wanted to mention this early in the episode. The one thing I wish they would do better with waterbending is more aggressive looking water. Like, the water hits people and then just falls to the ground. Like, it just splashes on them.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that's not going to hurt anybody. Like, I really want to see that water moving kind of
fast. I don't know, man. If you had, like, have you ever, like, had a time where, like, somebody throws, like, a huge bucket of water at you?
Yeah, I eat those.
Mm, I don't know.
It's just, it doesn't look like it's even hitting them hard. Like, it just touches them and then splashes down. And, like, because she uses the water whip, and in the movement, it looks good. But once it hits somebody, it just, like, I want to see it go through them and, like, the splash, like, the water keeps going, and then you see, like, it dissipate around them because it hit them so hard.
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think the water bending could be better. We'll see future seasons.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't want to be like, oh, it's terrible. But I think you're right. Earthbending
and firebending
fights have been the best. Airbending is not bad, but that's more of a defensive, like, thing. So you don't really see a lot. Right.
But yeah, this fight between Zuko and Zhao was dope. And at one point, you even kind of think, like, I don't know who's going to win here.
Yeah.
Because Zhao, we haven't really seen him fight at all,
no,
pretty much. This was the first time we've seen him fight. And he's no slouch.
No. I do wish we could have seen him earlier in the season so we knew that beforehand, right?
Yeah.
But
it would have been nice to see him do some other battles. Because up to this point, you just kind of think he's just like a Slytherin, sneaky, you know, just, yeah, underhanded dude. but he actually can throw hands.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, they're going back and forth. And at one point, Zuko kind of gets a little bit of an upper hand on him. And he, you know, starts to go over to him like he's going to, you know, deliver some final blows. And Zhao starts using his next best weapon, which is his mind and his words.
Which he gives him. He's just like, you really think you're going to be welcome back if you have the Avatar? He's
yeah.
Like, you're just a...
He basically tells him, like, this whole mission was just a game.
Yeah. And it was, he was used, at this point, Ozai was just using Zuko to strengthen Azula.
Yeah. He tells him, he's like, your father... The only reason he had you do any of this was to help your sister get stronger.
Yeah.
And Zuko's just telling him, like, nah, like, I don't believe you. And he's like, yeah, like, basically the person who came out on top here is the one who didn't get the fire scar from Daddy.
Yeah, which was a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point then, like, Zuko is, like, about to, like, let off on him. And... this is where you kind of get a taste for how Zuko, like, how powerful he potentially could be. Because when he goes and he, like, goes to throw this fireball, Zhao does get out of the way, but it, like, busts through the bridge that they were on and even, like, busts through the wall that was, like 20 feet behind it.
Yeah.
And firebenders, their power comes from their rage. So this angered Zuko, and he unleashed a little.
Not where it originally came from, but that's where it comes from now.
Right, right.
Lore, baby. Yeah. Sorry, keep going.
So anyway, at this point, then Zhao kind of gets a little bit of upper hand, sneaks away, and
he's on the ground. I don't know what
he is on the ground.
Zuko does, but he's on the ground, and Zuko's done.
Right,
he's like, whatever, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah,
I can't remember why he says, wipe yourself off. You're bleeding. And goes over to Uncle Iroh. But Zhao, being the sly dog he is, tries to get a little back shot in. pause. And
no diddy.
relevance. And then Iroh's like, nah, homie. And he just...
oh, man. Torches him.
Finishes Zhao off.
Yo, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Scorpion in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, shoot.
Like... The fatality that he has where he, like, pulls his mask off and he roasts people.
Oh,
That's what that reminded me of, because, like, Zhao's whole body went up in flames.
And didn't it, like, fall into the water after that?
Yeah, and it was still on fire in the water.
Yeah, that's how hot it was.
That's how crazy powerful Iroh is.
Yeah, let's not forget.
If he wants you to be roasted, you're going to be roasted.
Don't matter if water's there or not.
Yeah.
So, he saves Zuko there, and then they're getting out of there.
Yeah.
That's the end of that. As they're getting out of there, this kaiju is just out in the ocean now.
Yeah, well, so as they're all retreating, it's out in the ocean, and it's wrecked a bunch of ships, but there's still a crap ton of ships left.
Yeah, and they're kind of firing at them now.
Yeah, they unleash. It's like dozens and dozens of fireballs being catapulted.
Those.
Well, he does at first, but then a bunch of them, like, hit him at once, and he goes down. And you even see, like, Aang's, like, you can see Aang, like,
in the water
of the kaiju in, like, his little sphere thing. And that whole thing goes down into the water, too. And people are like, oh, man, I guess that's it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it did nothing but piss him off.
Yeah.
Because he comes back up, and this water kaiju then just goes and just smacks a bunch of ships. Water bends a bunch of water, like, essentially demolishes the whole fleet.
And creates, like, a tidal wave at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big tsunami, takes out the whole fleet. They're done. So the battle's pretty much over here. But as the battle is ending, the kaiju thing is kind of just walking out to the ocean. And this is where Katara then starts to kind of plead and says, like, Aang, like, come back, like, please, like, we need you. Like, we're your family. You don't have to do this.
My question is, how did Aang hear her, bro? She was, like, talking.
So this was kind of one of the things that I actually liked about this episode. Because in the previous episode, I had mentioned, and you said you didn't necessarily pick up on it, that...
a little more of the connection between those two.
Yeah, this is where the connection starts building in the previous episode. And in this one, you know, as Katara's pleading with him to like come back, she says like, we're your family, like we need you, you know, please come back, like you don't have to do this. And then she finally breaks down and she says like, I need you.
Yeah.
While that's all happening, Yue is with Sokka, still in the oasis. Like everybody else has bounced from there, but they're still there because she's in this weakened state.
Yeah.
She can't really go anywhere. She doesn't really, you know, have any much strength. But she realizes then that there is a way to bring balance back. Because this is the part where she mentions then that the moon spirit is just going to be wandering, you know, angry around the world because it doesn't have...
Looking for its lost partner.
Right,
yeah.
Doesn't have its partner. So she says to Sokka, like, I know how, you know, this can be fixed. And kind of unbeknownst to him, she does a little water bending below him and freezes his feet so he can't move anywhere. And he kind of realizes this thing's like, whoa, like, what are you doing? And she goes into the water then, and that's when Sokka kind of picks up on it. And he realizes, like, oh, wow, you're about to do this, aren't you? And she basically tells him, like, she's going to now become
the moon spirit. Yeah, because she has some of the moon spirit in her.
Yeah.
So it's able to be like, yeah, I can become the moon spirit here and just replace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she sinks into the water, and she becomes a fish, right? I mean,
well, I don't know if they actually show what she becomes, but she goes there and, this is the one part I forgot to mention. As she's leaving and she freezes him, she gives Sokka a kiss.
Yeah.
And,
a little smoochy.
Yeah. You know, she tells him like, you know, I'm going to be going, but, you know, just remember like the moon spirit can still become mortal, you know, once a year on a special night, you know, on a night like tonight. And I think she's pretty much telling him like, yo, like you can come back and see me.
Yeah. He's going to kiss a fish.
Yeah. And as she's becoming the moon spirit, then Aang / water kaiju / moon spirit kind of senses that as well and starts coming back.
Yeah.
So the battle's over, the moon spirit's back. The moon now comes back.
Yep.
When she becomes the moon spirit, and Aang comes out of, you know, the avatar spirit state.
Yeah.
The whole episode up to this point, you know, it was just a lot of different things happen, a lot of emotions, a lot of big scenes, and it kind of reminded me of, like, you know, in movies where you see, you know, after a battle's going down, you see all the aftermath. It's like, damn, like
people died.
Yeah, war is crazy.
Yeah, so I think I don't know what happens in between this, but you have Katara and Aang, and maybe the whole team actually walking through the battlefield.
Yeah,
and you see the guy that went to help Katara is dead. You see Han is dead.
Yeah,
and like people are crying, and I'm like, well, this got real.
Yeah,
like real fast.
Aang starts crying.
Yeah, and he's upset.
Yeah, he flies off then on his little glider and like pieces out for a little bit.
Sokka apologizes to the chief. He's like, hey, I'm just glad you were there for her in a time where she probably was scared.
Yeah.
She always makes her own choices.
Right, right.
So that was pretty crazy. Aang is out. Then Aang flies. He flies out to see the whole thing, all the damage done.
Yeah.
And while that's happening, you actually see Zuko and Iroh. They're on a little dinghy boat. And they're like, well, the 41st was all the way in the back. They might still be, their boat might still be out there. So,
nah, they dead. They got to be.
I don't think so. I don't think they are. Unfortunately. I mean, what?
Or fortunately.
Unfortunately.
This is another important scene, too, because Iroh tells him, he's like, all right, well, you know, they might be looking for us. Like, you know, what do you want to do? And Zuko's just like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm tired.
The freaking Iroh, man.
He's like, well, man always needs his rest.
You should rest.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you're going to row that boat yourself, Iroh? Like,
what he's doing, this is the thing. What? Iroh and Zuko very much have a father-son relationship.
Iroh is Zuko's dad.
Yeah. And so he's, you know, he's trying to comfort his nephew son.
Yeah, his nephew son. But yeah, I mean, it's such a sweet moment. He's just like, well, man does need his rest. You should rest. I'm like, yeah, you're the sweetest dude ever.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah, because my ass was still telling my son, like, okay, we'll rest when we get to the boat. Let's freaking row.
Yeah, I need your help, buddy. But Aang comes back then, and he's talking with Katara, with Sokka, and, you know, he's basically saying, like, you know, this is my fault. You know, all this happened because I am not the Avatar. Like, I couldn't be who I needed to be to help these people.
Yeah.
And Sokka mentions to him, he's like, look, man, like, we're in a war. Like, these things happen. But, you know, you still have a mission. You still have to become the Avatar. And Katara basically lets him know, like, yeah, you know, you still have something you need to do, and we're going to be here with you the whole way.
Yep. Which is a sweet moment, a good moment. And I love it because Sokka calls him Melonhead, which he does in the animated show. So that was always fun. So they're like, okay, we have things to do and bending to learn.
Yeah. And Katara even tells him, like, you know, I'm going to teach you to waterbend here.
Yeah. Which I think is what he's going to know waterbending by the time season two starts. Not be a master at it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think season two, he'll be waterbending. Like, he trains in between the seasons. I think that's how this show's going to work.
Probably. Because I think in the animated show, by this point, like, he had at least attempted to waterbend a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, didn't do well. In this show, he, like, didn't even try.
Hell, in the animated show, he turned to firebend one time before he gets up here.
Did he?
Yeah, they're not bringing that storyline in. There's some guy he meets that's a firebender that left the Fire Nation.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. But
who knows? Maybe they work that in later.
They could, because he kind of is important. Well, anywho, not important to anything with Team Avatar, but he shows up. But then we move on to Lord Ozai.
Yes.
And he's talking to one of his, you know, second
in
command.
It's the sage.
It's the sage.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. But it doesn't matter. And he's just like, hey, you know, we didn't get the water tribe. We didn't get the Northern Water tribe.
Well, no. Before that, they are in a room where it's kind of like a globe.
No, that's later.
Was it after?
Yeah, that's the complete ending of the show.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they're in his throne room talking about, like, we didn't get the water tribe, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, that sucks. He goes, that was never the real target. And so he pulled grandfather's move, you know? He says, well, what do you mean it wasn't a real target? He's like, it was a distraction.
Yeah. And the dude he's talking to, he says, you know, there was a lot of loss of life, and you know, there was just a lot of soldiers that depleted resources and whatever. And Ozai's just like, all good. You know, that wasn't the intended target. And he goes, well, if you knew that attacking the North was a futile attempt, you know, why even do it? And that's when he says, well, this is who we really were trying to go after.
Yeah, which, one, this is a repeat of the first episode.
Yeah.
But none of the earthbenders came to help out the water tribe. So it really wasn't a distraction. That kind of got me a little bit.
Yeah.
However,
they show Omashu is now captured.
Yeah. And Bumi is trapped.
Yeah.
And they kind of, the soldiers back away a little bit to let the captain soldier walk through, who has a helmet on. And as they're talking, as this is happening, there's a background of the guy talking, or maybe Lord Ozai is talking. And it's like, hey, we got Omashu. And then the person who got it lifts her helmet up, and it's Azula.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's next? And then I think you hear it's something about all that's left is Ba Sing Se for the Earth, which there is no war in Ba Sing Se. but.
Anywho.
Yeah. So we see Azula. She was released out in the world, and she showed what she could do. She got Omashu, which has been around for over 100 years.
Right.
While the Fire Nation attacking, she does it in a day, probably, because she's
pretty much
Azula.
Pretty much.
And she has a little smirk on her face. And then we get a flashback to end the series, the show.
It's not a flashback.
Well, flash over.
Okay.
My apologies. We go, I'm trying to say we flash back. We flash.
Comma.
Back to Ozai. He's in the temple in a room, and it's the planet, and it's kind of like how the moon and the sun move, but then you also see another one, and it's a comet, and it's Sozin's comet, and they are showing, hey, we're getting back to where the comet, which is the comet's how is when the Fire Nation is at their strongest.
Right.
And so the comet comes by and he's like, well, how long do we have? And the guy's like, soon.
Yeah.
And it cuts out. And I'm glad they said soon, because in the anime show, it was seriously a year. In this, you can't do that with these actors, because they're going to grow and it's going to take time. And I think that's a great move there. I'm really excited to see Earth, season two, the book two of Earth.
Yeah, Earth was probably my favorite book. And Earthbending is probably my favorite type of bending.
And the best bender.
Easily.
Is in season, you get her in book two.
Yeah, Toph is just a really cool character. I'm interested to see what they do, because isn't Toph like even like younger than Aang?
I would say she's probably the same age as Aang, I would guess.
Okay.
If I had to say, she's probably younger than Aang, but not like by like years.
Right. But either way, like I'm interested to see how they cast it and who they cast it with, because, and this is probably something we should maybe leave for like a wrap-up episode that we do.
Yeah, later. You're right.
I am excited for it. I just really hope that, and I've said it multiple times, I hope they don't like make us wait forever. But yeah, overall, the whole show, I've enjoyed. I enjoyed more than I thought I was going to.
Same.
And I'm really hoping that we get more sooner rather than later.
I agree. I'm hoping they're already getting in there to act. Probably not, but
no, I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, they probably only finished wrapping, what, like 8 months ago or something. Then you got to do all the editing and the CGI and whatever. Like, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
I just hope it's not going to be like 2026 or something, you know.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know what the numbers were like for Avatar. I don't know if Netflix has like released that, or
it was number one for streaming for a bit, though. I know that.
Right.
My question to you real quick is, how did you do like the battle of the Northern Temple or the Northern Tribe?
I thought it was great. I mean, I think there were definitely some parts that were better than others. But this whole episode was pretty much battling from like the beginning to the end.
Basically.
So I liked it. I do hope that moving forward that we get more battling, more fighting. But overall it was great. I mean, that's why I rated this episode a little bit higher. There was a lot more action. There were a lot of big moments for characters. Zhao and, you know, everything that happened with him, that was a big moment, especially then leading to his death. You know, Avatar Aang, you know, kind of having his whole big, you know, sacrifice that he was going to try and make. Yeah. That was pretty huge. The connection kind of starting here then with Katara and Aang. I mean, there were a lot of big moments in this episode. So that's why I rated it a little bit higher. I still don't know that there's anything that I would say was like crazy, crazy amazing about the show, but it was still very good overall. I still don't understand the hate that it was getting. And you know what? As time went on, I've seen less of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you can binge it, so you get a week or two of the hate and the topics. I was just kind of curious, because I think this is a pretty big battle. And it probably wouldn't be easy to do, but I was actually pretty impressed overall.
Yeah.
And again, it's difficult to make a show that is for kids, but also adults can enjoy. This had enough serious tones of a battle. Like, I'm not going to say it's as good as like a Lord of the Rings fight.
Sure.
But like that kind of serious tone to it was actually there for me, as well as some of the childish stuff were there too.
Right.
So yeah, I was actually impressed. You know, I was pleasantly surprised by this episode.
Agreed.
Like you said, we will do a wrap-up episode, most likely. Don't know when. Just give us some time. Everything's in the works.
For sure. Well, this will be the last episode where we review part of the show, but keep an eye out for the wrap-up show that we have, and also for our new podcast that we'll be starting. By the time you hear this, it'll be out probably.
Yeah.
For Fallout.
On Amazon Prime.
Yeah, premiering next week in our time. For you, it'll probably be like last week or maybe.
Yeah, you probably watched all of it by now.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for watching this. This was a fun ride. Both a show that you and I watched, not growing up, but at, you know, when we were younger.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed. So this was, I was happy to be able to talk about this with, you know.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Everybody.
All righty, y'all. Well, we will see you guys some other time. Peace.